That's from Team Snapchat. Damn it. Happy Easter to you too.
I'm 1340 WKGN.
So yeah, if you ask me if technology makes people lonely these days, sometimes the only interaction you get is Uber or Uber Eats. At least you get some human interaction that way.
Just take the point. I don't want it. Just Cody wins.
Hour two kicking off in the Truly Hard Seltzer Studios. Drink what you truly want. Pick you up a 12-pack of Truly. Try all the flavors and tell me which one's your favorite. Only 100 calories and 1 gram of sugar. It is a healthy alternative to beer. Try some Truly. All right, hour two headlines. Cody McClure, Collision Course, right now.
Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
The lead singer of Evanescence is Amy Lee.
Okay.
She goes by Amy Lee.
One of my favorite things is every Wednesday, Cam, it's a give and take. A, Cam comes in hungover on Wednesdays.
Tuesday trivia, we all know.
Yep. Cam comes in hungover on Wednesday. That's why I always get a half-hearted thumbs up at the beginning of Wednesday. But then he'll start asking me trivia questions from their trivia last night, and that always makes me excited. I always look forward to that. It's like I get to go play trivia, but I don't have to sit there for an hour and a half drinking and eating and staying out late. I just get the, you know, I don't get the gift card, but I get the satisfaction of being right. Just wanted to let everybody know, nailed the final question from last night. Cam's team got it wrong. They lost. If I'd have been there, you would have won.
I did, too. I nailed it with
you. I don't think you nailed it.
I nailed it with you.
You were a part of it, but you didn't really help.
I would have gotten Alicia Keys first, Amy Winehouse last, but the two in the middle messed me up.
Okay.
Evanescence, John Legend, I mixed them up.
Yeah. I feel like I nailed all the years on that, too, by the way.
Yeah, pretty close.
That was kind of my wheelhouse, to be fair. I'd imagine your team's a little bit younger.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you guys probably weren't really around in 01, paying attention when Alicia Keys broke in as best new artist. And, you know, you probably can't picture all the emo girls going through their phase with Evanescence. And, you
wake
know,
me up. Wake me up inside.
Yeah, I remember very fondly in seventh Save grade when that was me. Happening.
I love Evanescence. Yeah. They were good. They had some hits. It's odd that that was the trivia question, and it also happened to coincide with the headlines.
Okay, let's hear.
I was just
it.
Giving you a headline that that Amy Lee was the lead singer of Evanescence.
Man, I didn't know that Back to Black came out in 2006, too, for Amy Winehouse, and that she won the 07 Best and Worst. Wow. I was all over that one.
Do you know when Back in Black came out?
By AC/DC?
Yeah.
My original guess was going to be 89, but I don't really know, so I'm going to guess 91 instead.
I don't know.
You don't know the answer to that?
1980.
Oh, way off. Not my genre. Not my wheelhouse. 91. Bad guess. Can you give us some headlines?
The Dolphins reportedly covet presumptive number one pick Joe Burrow. Miami has the number five overall pick.
This is very interesting because Miami can trade up with Cincinnati.
But if you're Cincinnati... Do you do that?
Probably.
I think you can get I think Joe Burrow's the next Peyton Manning. I think you get a franchise quarterback in Joe Burrow.
You think he's the next Peyton Manning?
Yeah. I think he's what you all wanted Trevor Lawrence to be.
We get it. By the way, let's just all acknowledge that Cody's trying to take his victory lap on Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, while conveniently ignoring a year and a half of just completely trying to destroy Patrick Mahomes, as now Patrick Mahomes has carried the Chiefs to the Super Bowl. Let's notice that Cody has tried to move off of his Patrick Mahomes hate that he was given Trevor Lawrence.
I told you what happened with me and Patrick Mahomes. He did the Night King thing, and I became a fan.
Convenient that happened in the second round of the playoffs after Tom Brady and
he didn't do it
had been kicked
year.
Off and Lamar Jackson had been knocked out and all that stuff. It's convenient that he won you over just in that split in that on that Sunday afternoon
everything
when your two
is
guns
so,
were gone.
Everything is so black and white with you. You act like I'm
not the one who's anti-white.
You act like I said Patrick Mahomes was Blake Bortles. I never said he wasn't really, really good.
You just always said overrated.
A little overrated, yeah.
No,
but
really overrated.
It's not like I ever
said. I think when we even power ranked our top five quarterbacks, he was probably like at number like five for
He was
you.
Number two behind Russell Wilson.
I don't know.
I'll pull it up. We were out at the truck stop when we did it. Weren't. I remember. No. Yes, we were.
We were at Monica's.
We were at the
Monica's.
Damn
we were at
truck
Monica's.
Stop
we were at Monica's.
On a Friday.
How much do you want to bet?
I remember.
We were at Monica's on a Tuesday.
We were at the truck stop at the TA on a
Friday. I will bet you
Friday.
Anything you want to bet. We were at Monica's.
I'll bet you anything you want to bet.
Okay.
I remember bet. Ranking the quarterbacks.
Hair.
I remember
beard,
ranking
eyebrows.
No, you can't
you
do
said
that.
You'll
no,
bet anything.
You can't
whatever
hold
you
up,
want me to do.
You can't hold up
you
your end of the
what
bet
you
on
want
that.
Me to do.
I can't hold up your end of the bet.
I can go my eyebrows. What do you want me to do?
It's got to be something equal.
I'll do whatever you want me to do.
Let me search my tweet.
It was either Tuesday. I mean, it was the middle of the week at Monica's because she's a Matt Ryan fan.
No.
And she asked us, are you going to have Matt Ryan on there? And I said, no, probably not this time, Monica.
The Friday before that, we had already done it at the truck stop. And then
we
were rehashing it.
We power ranked it at the Monica's.
No, we were rehashing it at Monica's.
You're completely wrong. We weren't even at the truck stop.
Let me search this and make sure you're not right. Cody McClure, 2 underscores. Russell Wilson.
We were at Monica's because she was talking to me about Matt Ryan because she's a big Matt Ryan fan.
I'm telling
fan.
You this was on a Friday.
I'm telling you you're wrong.
Tucker, what day was October 3rd? I had Russell Wilson number one, Patrick Mahomes number two, Tom Brady number three.
Tom Brady number three. Oof.
Dak and then Matthew Stafford. It was
Stafford was bought
it was early in the year. We thought Matthew Stafford was looking
it was
really
a
good.
Thursday.
So you were wrong. It wasn't a Tuesday.
Tuesday and Thursdays run together. I went back and said middle of the week. Thursday counts. It wasn't a Friday.
It was at the truck stop.
No, we were at the truck stop maybe the next day. Was that the Georgia
That's
game?
That's what it was. What day was the Georgia game? The 5th? We were at the truck stop on the Friday.
Correct.
We were rehashing our list at the truck stop.
I mean, we might have, but we gave our list on at Monica's. Like
we
I
weren't
said.
At Monica's on that Thursday. Because you said we were at Monica's on Tuesday before.
And then I backed off and said maybe it wasn't a Tuesday. I said it was the middle of the week. It wasn't a Friday or a Monday is all I was saying.
The Georgia game was on the 5th.
So I was right. At
you
at
were
the
right.
We were at the truck stop and we were talking about the list.
What?
I remember being at the truck stop talking about the list.
Okay, sure. That's fine.
Did we have back-to-back remotes?
Probably. We were doing a lot of remotes at the time.
There was a week when we had a remote on a Thursday at Monica's and then a Friday at the truck stop. Really, we were both right.
I don't think you were right.
I remember talking about it at the truck stop.
Fox Sports Knoxville, October 2nd, live remote alert. Tomorrow, John Reed and Cody McClure will be at Campus Cuts by Monica.
So we were there October 3rd.
Correct.
Which was on a Thursday.
Which is the day we power ranked quarterbacks.
Which was on a Thursday.
Correct. Which was the day we power ranked quarterbacks.
So we were both right.
You were not. You were not right. Where were you right in this situation?
Because we were at the truck stop the next day and we talked about the list.
So we talked about quarterbacks.
Stop.
We talked about quarterbacks.
We
on
talked
a Friday.
About
okay.
the rankings. We talked about our rankings.
Who played? Was there a who played on that game? Was there a Thursday night game with one of those guys in it? Maybe
Russell Wilson. I think played that Thursday night. And balled out, and I think I felt justified. Maybe no, nah, maybe not. Maybe it took a few days. The Rams played somebody that Thursday.
Maybe.
Let's see.
Yeah, it was the Seahawks beat the Rams.
That's
yeah.
30-29. Okay. Yeah. See, I was right.
Yeah. Hmm.
And we talked a lot about Russell Wilson that next day at the truck stop. And I remember saying, oh, now I remember. I said, look, John, look what he did last night. A great game from Russell Wilson. That's why I had him my number one.
Sure.
But we were talking about it at the truck stop.
We talked about quarterbacks, yes. We talked about Russell Wilson the day after he played, correct.
We talked about our rankings.
But we power ranked where?
You were right, too. We did power rank.
There's no two.
We did
There's
original.
No two.
We did power rank originally at Monica's. You were right.
Yes, I was right.
But we.
And you were wrong. You said we power ranked at the truck stop.
No.
Shout out to the Travel Center. We did not power rank there. We power ranked at Monica's.
I was not wrong about rehashing the power rankings at the truck
we
stop.
We discussed quarterbacks.
We talked about the list.
There was no altering of anybody's power rankings.
The point is, Patrick Mahomes
you were wrong.
Was
you owe me your eyebrows,
two.
Beard, and hair because you said you would bet anything. And that's what I said I wanted, and you were wrong, so please shave.
The point is, Patrick Mahomes was my number two. So, again, you can't act like I never said he was good.
I'd like to pull up the audio from that because everyone just crowns Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
Everyone just crowns him. He's not any good.
I never said he's not any good, and I don't talk like that either.
This is just a regular season list because Tom Brady would be my number one if we were in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You got any other headlines?
I have several other headlines. I've hardly done it.
You got breaking news or something? We better have breaking news the way you're trying to get my attention, Tucker.
Now, Tucker's interrupted headlines with some sort of whatever this is.
Bad breaking news.
Todd Graham.
Are they here? Are the suspension? Okay. So the suspensions have been handed down, but we don't have the details yet. We'll get them.
Todd Graham is going to become the new head coach at Hawaii.
Cool.
He used to be the coach at Arizona State. Now he'll be the coach at Hawaii.
He's got that goofy microphone that he wears as if he's a pop singer.
He is not a pop singer.
No.
Derek Jeter made the Hall of Fame. One guy didn't vote for him.
You know, I saw a lot of people mad about this, and I do agree with both sides. Baseball does not let position players, and I want to say Rivera was the first guy ever to be unanimously voted in. You can't let Derek Jeter be unanimously voted in. If you didn't let guys like King Griffey Jr. or Babe Ruth or who, you know, whatever other superstars you want to go back throughout history and see, if you didn't let those guys be unanimous voters, you can't let Derek Jeter be, because Derek Jeter's not as good as them. So I don't have a problem with one brave guy be like, no. No, I'm not going to do it.
So brave.
But at the same time, he's probably trying to make it about himself, and I'm sure we'll find out who it is soon. And the whole idea of unanimous votes is stupid, because all those guys should have been before, but they wouldn't let guys like King Griffey Jr. be unanimously voted in because Babe Ruth didn't get to be in. So both sides are stupid, but both sides are kind of right, in my opinion.
D'Souza is suspended indefinitely.
Yeah, that's the only one I've got coming through so far.
I don't even think he is a big contributor on that team.
He said he was suspended indefinitely until, like, pending the final outcome and review of Kansas and the Big 12 conference. So, okay. I guess they still don't have really all the suspensions.
I mean, D'Souza only plays 8 minutes a game. Averages 2.6 points. He's not a big loss for them.
Derek Jeter should have been unanimous.
I mean, he should have been a Hall of Famer. So, in that respect, yes. If it's just a yes or no vote, like, is Derek Jeter a Hall of Famer? Everyone probably should have voted yes because he's a Hall of Famer, right? But if you look at it from like a Rotten Tomatoes score standpoint, you can't have Derek Jeter be 100%. Right? Somebody has to vote no to kind of bring the ratings down a little bit.
Do they have to? Can't it just be all good sometimes? Like the Irishman, again, who would vote no.
Again, it probably should have been everyone voting yes because he is a Hall of Famer. But in baseball writers' minds, if he's 100% unanimous, that means he got in and was better and more deserving than Babe Ruth and King Griffey Jr. and Mickey Mantle. No, he's not.
Much better athlete.
He's not better at baseball than those guys.
Than Babe Ruth? They didn't let certain types of players in play when Babe Ruth was
That's
playing.
Fine. Derek Jeter was a really good baseball player that got a lot of opportunities because he was with the Yankees and was the second best shortstop on his own.
He had a big star.
That's fine, but he was the second best shortstop on his own team for probably the last 10 years of his career. Or 12 years of his career.
But he was a legend.
That's fine, but he, you know, he wasn't.
He'd kick Babe Ruth's ass. Babe Ruth played in the 20s.
I mean, that's fine. Whatever. I'm just saying, Jeter's not better than them at baseball historically. If you compare what they did in their era and all that stuff.
When you turn 70, you should be a baseball writer.
Me?
Yeah.
Just when I turn 70 and decide, hey, I'd like to write about baseball now.
You've
please give me a Hall of Fame.
You've already got the mentality for me.
No, I don't agree with, like, again, he should be a Hall of Famer, so you should vote yes. I'm just saying, in their mind, they have only allowed Rivera to be unanimous. They have not let other position players do it, so in their minds, they're saying, we can't let Jeter go in with a quote-unquote better accolade than these other guys who are better at baseball than him.
Don't you think a lot of these guys are probably just biased, though?
I would say the guy that didn't vote him in probably would agree that he should be in the Hall of Fame, that he just wasn't just going to – he was going to make sure it wasn't unanimous. That's it. That's what's happening.
He voted against what he really felt.
I would say he did, same as the NFL writers. They do the same thing. They don't do it with unanimous, but they do it with first ballot Hall of Famers. Only the studs and the nice guys get in first ballot Hall of Fame. The NFL writers taught T.O. a lesson, Terrell Owens. They didn't want him to be a first ballot Hall of Famer because that's the sort of the equivalent of being unanimous. It's like, you got it on your first ballot. That's how great you were. They didn't let T.O. in because he was mean to the media.
Which is
because he was a diva.
Stupid.
So they, yeah, it is stupid. Completely it is stupid. It is stupid.
They should let players and coaches and fans decide on this. these media types
you'll
let
fans in, because then you'll get every guy with the big fan base. You'll get Alex Caruso voted in the NBA Hall of Fame.
Yeah, as he should be. I think a few fans should have a small percentage.
No.
And then it should be players and coaches.
Fans are usually pretty dumb.
Media is usually pretty biased.
Baseball usually just goes by numbers. Again, Derek Jeter got in. That's all that matters here. Doesn't matter that he wasn't unanimous.
I have a strong feeling that it should have been unanimous. I care a lot about it.
Okay. I don't think the Red Sox fans would have voted Jeter in. He wouldn't be unanimous fan vote. You'd get more. So you want to remove bias, but you want to let fans vote. That seems smart.
I said small percentage.
Right, but because we want to remove bias, so we're going to let fans vote.
Small percentage. Fans should have as much of a say as the media. You're saying fans shouldn't have a say?
I'm just saying if you're looking for unbiased opinions, you would hope that the media would be more unbiased than the fans.
You would hope, but that's not the truth.
Yeah.
I think they're more biased than fans.
Sure.
Maybe let just neutral fan bases vote. On Jeter, you let like Rockies fans vote.
Okay. Maybe the Rockies would be neutral. There's not very many neutral feelings about the Yankees, though.
But Jeter as a person. Do you know Jeter got shot by Mark Wahlberg?
In Ted?
No.
You sure it wasn't in Ted? I feel like I remember this in Ted.
I'll bet you your eyebrows and your hair and your beard, it wasn't Ted.
Was it Ted 2?
Like I said, I'll bet you everything it wasn't.
Was it the other guys?
It was the other guys.
Okay.
Yeah. Good thing you didn't bet on it, huh?
No. You could have gotten even instead of owing me.
I actually watched that again last night.
The other guys?
Yeah, it doesn't hold up as much as I thought.
It's not very good.
It doesn't hold up.
It was surprisingly funny if you had low expectations.
The first time I saw it, I thought it was kind of funny, but now watching it, it's not very...
You might have outgrown Will Ferrell's humor.
There's just not a great rewatchability when it comes to that.
I mean, I do appreciate the stick where he's got Eva Mendez as his wife, and he's just acts like she's just
she's average,
like she's the worst.
Look, they can't all be tens. You know, he's like
that's a pretty funny stick. And I remember the giant salmon, the king salmon versus the lions battle. That part always makes me laugh.
The tuna.
Yeah. Those two parts make me laugh, but that's it.
I like the homeless guys getting it on in the Prius.
I don't remember that part.
No. Dirty Mike and the boys.
Yeah, I don't remember.
And
that
then
part.
they get caught, and he says, "Grease it, boys. We will have sex in your car. It will happen again." It's pretty funny.
Yeah. I just liked the dialogue between lions versus tuna.
Did that go how you thought it was going to go? And then he pours the coffee on it.
What happens if you bring the lions out to the sea and the waves are crashing over them?
Yeah. I assume it's off the coast of South Africa.
Yeah. Then they get a taste for lion, and they develop a breathing apparatus that allows them to go up to the shore for 10 minutes to hunt.
Yeah.
That part always makes me laugh. Okay, decent batch of headlines. Not that great. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
It's the best.
Brother Bellis in the back, sweet singers in the front, cruising down the freeway in the hot...
I got a little bit of a dilemma I need to ask you about. Which, by the way, first of all, Corey says, my take that Derek Jeter was the second best shortstop on his team for the last 10 years is a trash take, to which I just say Alex Rodriguez was infinitely better than Derek Jeter. That's not close. You don't have to be a baseball genius to know that. Alex Rodriguez, much, much better than Derek Jeter.
Yeah, I disagree with that.
Well, that is a trash take, my friend.
Well, that is
a trash take.
I have no way to back it up.
Okay.
I just want you to know I disagree.
Okay. Well, it's a trash take.
All right.
I've been telling you I got this dilemma. As you know, March 8th, my birthday, number 30. I have to RSVP to a wedding tonight that's on March 7th.
Ugh.
And I'm trying to decide on whether or not I'm RSVPing yes or no.
Yeah, don't go. Easy. Simple. Done. It's finished. Don't go.
7th is a Saturday.
I mean, that's all you need to hear about it is just like that. That's it.
Yep. It's a wedding. Don't go.
Weddings are fun. You don't like weddings? I'm not asking you, Cam. Weddings are fun though, right?
I have fun at weddings.
It's in Nashville.
Oh, definitely not going. Does it matter? Is it someone who matters?
Does she matter anymore?
It's a girl.
Well, it's like my good friend from high school and then some of college. Like, I mean, we're decently good. I mean, we don't talk much anymore, but I consider her a close friend, a lifelong friend type of thing.
Some girl I knew in high school invited me to a wedding the other day. You know what I did? Threw it in the trash.
I don't think that happened.
It did. It did happen last year. A girl I knew, her name was Bailey.
She knew your address in Knoxville to send you an invitation? Because I don't find this story very plausible.
She texted me one day out of the blue and asked for my address, and I just didn't reply. I didn't even think about it. And then I realized a couple months later she was getting married, and she probably...
So you didn't actually get invited to her wedding?
She was going to invite me. She was wanting to send me an invitation.
You think she might have been inviting you?
Why the hell would she want my address?
Yeah, I don't know. You didn't reply.
And then, make sure she didn't accidentally send you an invitation.
I'm trying to make sure I don't accidentally send you one. She was.
That seems pretty presumptuous of you.
We were dear friends, and she got married a couple months later. Like, she was going to invite me to her wedding.
We think. We don't know for sure.
She was going to invite and I ghosted her.
So your story about throwing her invitation in the trash was...
That was a different friend.
Oh, that was a different friend.
Oh. I don't go to weddings. I'm not close with enough people. So,
what if it's somebody you're close with? If I invite you to a wedding, you gonna come?
If you invite me, I'll go out of... I'll feel obliged.
Don't do me favors.
Before your birthday?
You will not be invited.
I will feel obliged.
You can go straight to hell. You won't be invited.
I will feel obliged to go to your wedding. But like if Tucker invites me to his, probably not. You know, until I'd have to get to know you first, you know. Right now, if you invited me, I probably wouldn't go. So
if I invited you to a wedding right now, I'd be just as shocked as you'd be.
Well, there you go. But most of the guys at the station,
Cam,
even,
you like weddings, right?
I do like weddings.
I like weddings too. I imagine
is it an open bar?
I'm imagining yes. I don't have that confirmed. I feel like it's tacky to ask. You don't ask people, right? Like you don't say, "Hey."
I've asked before.
Like it's kind of a big
like to your close friends, though, right?
Yeah, I was gonna go. I just was asking to see.
I think it's kind of important because I think that's part of what gave me a bad experience with weddings.
If it's a cash bar, I'll survive. They'll be drinking there.
Well, no, I went to you. You've been to these Christian weddings, like the.
It's
very
not gonna be that. It's
okay.
Not gonna be that.
Okay. Well, yeah.
And I'm not saying they're not religious or whatever, but they'll be drinking at the bar at the wedding.
Okay. It's not going to be like a Southern Baptist
wedding.
What
I would do is I'd be in and I just turn it into a whole birthday weekend in Nashville.
Am I allowed to do that, though? Because, like, I mean, there'll be a lot of friends from my high school and college there. Am I allowed to, like, hijack the wedding and be like, hey, afterwards we're going out for my birthday? Like, you guys could all come out with me after the birthday? Because I feel like that might be a little tacky.
Well, what you do is
I feel
is
like
you
I have to completely take a back seat to the wedding here.
Until the clock strikes midnight, and then you're like, you know what? This is now my birthday celebration. Let's ride.
I think you got to look at statistics. I think you got to play.
Is that? What the hell does that even mean? Statistics. What do the numbers say here?
I think you got to play the analytics here.
Yeah, what is that
chart? What does that mean?
You'll only turn 30 once.
Huh?
They'll statistically probably get married more than
once.
But
I'm only going once. Usually when people get remarried, they don't have a second wedding. Or like a big thing.
If they meet the love of their life again, they might.
They don't always do a big thing, though.
Which they
shouldn't
expect.
It gets significantly
much.
Smaller the second time, though. Only like 30 people will be there, and I don't think I'll make the cut for 30.
Well, are most of your friends going to be at this?
I would imagine so. That's also part of the dilemma. Like, if I stay and I try to have like a birthday party, they might feel obligated to go to her wedding, and then my friends might turn down my 30th birthday party.
Well, now, see, that's the thing. If you can't,
I have texted a couple of them to ask if they're going. I haven't heard back from them yet, so.
You don't want to be in a position where you make them choose between you and the wedding.
Yeah,
because like,
if I lose, I'll feel like a loser.
Well, and you don't want to celebrate your birthday, your 30th by yourself. So,
correct.
Like, if all your friends are in Nashville at this
wedding.
Like
I said, I'll feel like a loser.
I feel like you got to go now. Now that you consider all those factors.
But I invited her and her fiance to our housewarming party, and they never answered the invitation.
Oh.
We texted once. We sent a Facebook message another time. Yeah. And then, like, a month and a half later, she responded the day before saying she just saw it and can't make it.
Which is a lie.
Right.
That's a bold-faced lie.
Correct.
I'm out on the wedding now. I'm going to Nashville for my birthday celebration and just happening to meet them at where they are, and I'm hijacking. That's the plan now.
Although, getting drunk.
That would feel bad, though, because they'll all be dressed up. Then I'll be underdressed at my own birthday party.
You just dress up just to... You stunt on full suited and just.
Okay.
You should send out birthday invitations to the people that you want to come and say, please RSVP and please don't be wearing anything from the wedding. Please change clothes. Please wear jeans.
Okay.
It's a casual affair.
Send the marrying couple an invitation too. to my birthday party.
I don't
birthday
know if
celebration
you do.
During yeah. the same time yeah. as their wedding.
I don't know if you do. And now that you mentioned that they ghosted you on the housewarming party, yeah. I think now maybe you make it kind of a
competition. That's rude. I don't want to be spiteful.
Well,
I don't want to be spiteful, but I was a little offended that I didn't at least get a text back.
You hold grudges.
I know they saw the text.
You're a grudge-holding guy.
I know they saw the text.
Of course
like,
they saw the text.
Who doesn't see the text message?
Of course they saw the text.
You could have at least said, sorry, thanks for the invite. We'll be out of town because they don't live here. That simple. Bada boom, bada bing.
I think you
But weddings are fun. And it'd be nice to see all my high school and college friends again. Like the wedding we had last year was a lot of fun. It was a similar setup. It was a great night.
You could drink on their dime.
Good drink on their dime.
So maybe you go to the wedding, you drink on their dime, but your birthday's the next day, right?
Correct, on a Sunday, though, but nobody really wants
to
celebrate on a Sunday.
So the celebration would need to be on a Saturday night.
Right.
Well, why don't you just go to the wedding, you drink on their dime, you have a good time at the wedding. The drinking on your dime is you're getting back for them ghosting you on the housewarming party. And then you tell all your boys who are there, you say, hey, well, let's go out after this. Let's go change clothes. Let's go celebrate my birthday. That's not hijacking
their
day.
Yeah, they celebrate at the reception and stuff. The night can be yours.
Yeah.
The last couple of weddings I've been to, though, the people have celebrated afterwards, and then like we've gone out to the bars afterwards, too.
Yeah. So
but,
you
the wedding people have done that, too, though. So like the wedding party kind of continues.
The groom and bride, or bride and bride, or groom and groom. You
when
know,
did the last two weddings?
2020.
The first one definitely had the bride and groom come out afterwards. Second one, I can't remember. I don't think they did.
I thought they were supposed to go have sex. Like, don't. Aren't
I think that's
to?
Gone by the wayside a little bit. I think the sex on wedding night thing is kind of out the window.
Really?
I feel like most people are having sex before their wedding night these days.
What?
Well, yeah, but you got to have sex on the wedding night,
I
too.
Think most people are too tired afterwards. Like, hey, I'll get you in the morning type of thing.
Well, that's you got to consummate the marriage or it doesn't count.
I think you can do it the next morning. And sometimes people get the marriage license even before. My one friend, I don't know if I ever told you this, we had a whole big spill, whole big wedding in Atlanta, $1,000 down the drain, this big whole ceremony for his big wedding, only for him to tell us that weekend that they actually had gotten married a year before at the courthouse, and they had been reaping the benefits of the taxes and all that for a year, but still wanted everybody to get together to celebrate them.
Smart?
It was smart, but I was very mad about that.
Yeah, that's something you got to keep to yourself.
Yeah, like just ride that out all the way through the end. Because I was like, so why are we here? Oh, for my wedding. You got married last year.
Well, yeah, but you got to celebrate. Yeah, everybody deserves one day
there's
to celebrate.
One thing between celebrating. There's another between all the hoops we had to jump through. The marching through the streets of Atlanta, all that stuff.
That would be inconvenient.
The thousands of dollars we had to spend.
I think, is this wedding a daytime wedding?
I would imagine it's like at 6. I can't confirm. The RSVP is sitting at home. I'd imagine it would be over by 8 or 10.
Who has a wedding in March? It's probably going to be cold.
I appreciate it more than like a July wedding. It's too hot then.
Yeah. I mean, me too. But I still.
I don't ever. When people are able to get married and want to get married, I don't judge. Just get married whenever you want to. If my friends want to get married Florida weekend or Alabama weekend, I would be there and support my friends.
No.
I'm a good friend.
Absolutely not.
I'm a great friend, actually. I'm a fantastic friend.
Yeah.
So I'd be there. I wouldn't complain. Get married when you want to get married. If they want to get married in March, I'll go. I'm a little annoyed that it's on my 30th birthday, but that's not their problem.
That's true.
It wasn't on her to be like, oh, well, we could get married this weekend, but my old friend, Jonathan, he's turning 30 this weekend. We can't steal that. I have no problem with that.
Does she know what
you're doing? I don't
know. Yeah. We were, like I said, we were really good friends in high school.
I don't know, though. When you combine the ghost in you on the housewarming party and then the getting married on your birthday, I mean, that's kind of – I don't know. I don't know if I'd be friends with these people. Huh? And you just said it's some girl you knew from high school, right? Like
we were friends. We were good friends in high school. We were friends in college.
Well, you haven't been in high school for 10 years.
I know, but this is a long-time friend was all I was saying. I know her since, like, 8th grade.
Yeah, but
– we were friends in college. We had our 10-year reunion last year. We were friends there, too. Like, we're still friends. I mean, not close friends. I don't see them often, but.
Once a year, even?
Yeah, once a year. At a wedding or somewhere similar. Twice last year.
I don't think you should be obligated to show them any sort of loyalty.
Cam?
I think you should recruit at the wedding.
I'm not asking.
I think you should go to the wedding and you should recruit people to your birthday party.
That whole thing about somebody in the room's a dumbass, no, I was talking about you.
I'm definitely hijacking.
So you're going to go and then just make it about myself. That's bad advice.
I said wait till midnight. I said you go out and celebrate with them, but as soon as it hits midnight, it's full send to you and you
can't stay up till midnight.
That's the problem is I'm going to be tired.
He'll be done by midnight. Easy.
It is my birthday. I can go till midnight if I have to.
Yeah, I don't know.
Weddings will take a lot of me, though, and I do like dancing at weddings, and this would be a big dance wedding.
You got to be at the wedding and be like, hey, you going out for my birthday after this? Just ask everybody.
Yeah.
I say you go recruit at the wedding. Use it as to your advantage.
And have the best birthday party
and you from have 11 a great to birthday
2 a.m.
Yeah. You should, have time to go out for your birthday. But do you think you should make people feel obliged to... Like, hey, it's John's 30th birthday. We have to do something special. Or do you think they'll already feel that way?
I don't know. In my head, I thought we
would. I'll sneak over there and throw you a surprise party at the wedding.
Okay. Not a bad idea.
A surprise party at the wedding? Yeah. How is that not a bad idea?
I just wanted to be nice.
You said my idea is bad. You're saying Cam has a good idea?
It was an awful idea. Yeah, it was a
don't
bad
do
idea.
That.
Now, if you guys all got there, and like all my friends from here, like in Nashville, waiting at a bar, and I just happened to bring the wedding party in there, and then you guys were all there waiting, like with balloons that said "Happy Birthday, John," that would be pretty good.
Oh, see, now look what he expects us
to do. We
can
do that.
Now we got to get involved
we
in
can
this.
Because the wedding's on my birthday.
Okay.
What, it's your birthday's the 7th?
Yeah.
You didn't know when Kim's birthday was?
No.
It's a bad friend.
He never told me.
Now I'm hijacking Kim's birthday, but we can make it a double party. I do love double parties.
So we could all just go to Nashville.
We could do that.
And like, you
and then
said,
I'll tell you guys which bar we're all planning to go out afterwards, and then you guys are there, and we have balloons, and other people are there, and then they think people are celebrating them, but then we come in, boom, it's me and Kim's birthday, let's party.
And if you've been celebrating those other people all day, at that point, I think it's fine.
The gift and the appearance,
yeah,
that's enough.
Transition. We make the transition from celebrating
right.
mine to yours.
Right.
And it just
blows past the
wedding celebration.
Yeah, we all know you guys got married today, but now, congrats. Now we're celebrating John
now
and apparently Cam's birthday.
Now it's the main event. The big 3-0. How old did you turn in, Cam? 25?
Yep.
The big 3-0 and 25. These are two big birthdays. 3-0 and 2-5. Those are big times.
2-5's not really that.
It's better than 2-4 and 2-6 and 2-7 and 2-8.
I mean,
and 2-9.
The only thing 25 does is officially put you closer to 50 than you were the day you were born.
You could also get. You could also rent a car.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it's true. Hey.
That's what I'm gonna do for my birthday.
Just rent a car and go ride around.
Nice
you gotta
car.
Have good credit though. I had a little trouble when I turned 25. I had to put a deposit down when I turned 25.
All right, I think I'm going to go to the wedding. I got an RSVP tonight. This was helpful. And then you guys are going to come to Nashville. At least Cam will be there.
Put it on the calendar.
Yeah, I could actually, there's a decent chance, maybe.
Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.
It's the...
Tweeted out something yesterday, and I was surprised at the blowback I kind of got to it from some people. When we're talking about what the Titans should do, I'm getting really annoyed at the idea of the Brady to Tannehill, the Brady to the Titans thing. But apparently more people are in on this than I thought. More people are in on the idea of signing Tom Brady than I would have imagined that would be in 2020. Cody, I think I know how you feel. You want Brady, right?
Well, I mean, I don't... It's not so much wanting Brady to be there. To me, it's more like, is Tannehill as good as people think he is? You know what I mean? Like, I worry a little bit about Tannehill next year. I know they could rely on Derrick Henry in the playoffs, but did we not sort of start to see it a little bit when they needed Tannehill to win a game? I mean,
I don't think the Titans lost on Sunday because of Ryan Tannehill.
Well, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that I wonder if next year he's – I don't think he'll be able to sustain as the highest rated passer in the NFL or anything.
I mean, that's fine. I think he'll be the best quarterback in the league next year statistically? When you look at the advanced metrics, he'll be top three in pretty much every category, and he'll lead the league by a fair margin in air yards per attempt and yards per completion and all that. Probably not, but do I think he's going to go back to being bad at those things? No, I don't think so either.
And that's not what I'm saying, but I'm wondering if, like, I mean, it's still Tom Brady.
I understand, you know, but, like, it's 43-year-old Tom Brady.
I know he's old.
Like, he's 43.
I know he's old, but
he's 43.
He also didn't have hardly any weapons this year.
That's what everybody keeps saying. And
it's
that's
the truth.
I mean, I don't know if it's the truth or not.
It is.
It's not because the Patriots didn't try. They had a first-round running back. They drafted a wide receiver in the first round. They traded a second-round pick for Mohamed Sanu, who was pretty good in Atlanta. They had the number one defense in the NFL this year. Like, how much more help does he need?
Some offensive playmakers would have been nice.
Edelman's a Hall of Famer.
Julian Edelman's the one guy that he had. I mean,
Julian Edelman's been a monster, like, for his entire career.
Wasn't Julian Edelman hurt for a portion of time?
He was playing.
Well, I mean, you got to look. He could have had Antonio Brown, Josh Gordon, lost both of those guys. I mean, Gronk wasn't there anymore. Like, he was severely depleted in terms of what he's had before. I think the Titans have much better weapons, do they not, than what the Patriots had by the end of the year? I mean, I think between Derrick Henry being the best running back in the league, and I think that's what he became, and the tight ends having those three tight ends that are all weapons, A.J. Brown.
I don't know if I would call all three tight ends weapons.
Two of them are weapons.
It's not like he had all pros there. I mean, he had Jonnu Smith, who is athletic, sure. But Firkser and Pruitt aren't exactly household names. They're not.
Firkser has made some big plays. He caught some passes.
Sure. Firkser had a nice catch in the playoffs. He had two nice catches, but to act like he's like some big-time weapon – seems a little misguided.
I think he's as – I mean, I think the tight ends that the Titans have are just as much weapons as anything Brady had.
Okay, sure.
Without Gronk.
I mean, if you want to say that, that's fine. I would say it's more so because they were getting the ball accurately thrown to them down the field, but
okay,
whatever.
Okay, we'll forget that regardless. Still, you've got the best running back in the league, which Brady certainly didn't have. And, they didn't have a Derrick Henry. And you get A.J. Brown, who's a hot, up-and-coming young receiver.
Sure.
I mean, I just...
So why do we want to take a hot up-and-coming receiver and then throw him out there to a quarterback who can't throw the ball down the field? Like, it's been... You know, if you go back to 2016, which I think 2016 was Brady's kind of... I mean, that was his last great year, probably. His last, like, MVP-level year. I mean, that's the year he won MVP, right? Mm-hmm. He went in 2017. He went in 2017. But in 2016, that was a four-game suspension, came back, went 11-1, had a passer rating of 112, threw 28 touchdowns and two interceptions. Like, Brady was awesome. His yards, average air yards per attempt were over 9. They were 9.3. Since then, it's gone down to 8.4, 7.8, all the way down to 6.8 this year. He dinks and dunks, so why would I want to take A.J. Brown, who you said is explosive and an elite receiver, why would I want to take him and then give him a quarterback that doesn't like throwing the ball down the field anymore? That seems like it would be counterproductive. The Titans' play action and the Titans' run game works because there is some mobility with Ryan Tannehill to get outside the pocket and throw on the run. Why would I want to remove Ryan Tannehill from that and put a guy back there that can't move?
I mean, I don't know. If you think that Tannehill will be better next – if he'll be good next year still, then you roll with Tannehill. I don't think it's crazy for people to want Tom Brady.
I think if we put the same player in a different in a jersey that didn't say New England or didn't say Tom Brady, there would be no argument that you would sign that guy over what you had at quarterback this year. That, I mean, like, it's Tom Brady.
It
is a part of being Tom Brady. That's fine, but like the Super Bowls he won in the early 2000s mean nothing in 2020.
Well, no.
I mean, to me, that's a part of it. Like, I don't want to go ahead and just say this would be like the Wizards bringing back Michael Jordan and trading Rip Hamilton to open up playing time for him, and then you're like, oh, Rip Hamilton turned out to be an all-star and an NBA champion, and Michael Jordan wasn't very efficient as he didn't take you to the playoffs, but like it seems like it would be similar to that.
Well, you don't have to think about the Super Bowls in the early 2000s, but I mean, what about the recent Super Bowls, the recent trips to the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
I mean, that's still – Brady could still be that guy.
We're 3 years removed. We'll be 3 years removed from his big-time performance against the Eagles.
Time does not start stop moving.
I mean, but against the Eagles, he was great. 500 yards, whatever. Last year's Super Bowl, he scored 13 points. Like, I mean, I'm not going – he won the Super Bowl. Congratulations to him. They won that Super Bowl relying on a run game, which the Titans will have, but also relying on the best defensive coach in the league, and the Titans don't have that. The Titans don't have the defense that the Patriots had. Well, I like the Titans' defense, but they're not great.
Is the goal to try to get better and is the goal to try to get to the Super Bowl for the Titans?
I hope so.
I mean, with what they've got, like
to me, the goal next year is not go to the Super Bowl. It's to win the AFC South and prove that last year wasn't a fluke. Like be in the second round of the playoffs type of thing. You don't have to go back to the AFC Championship. You don't have to win the Super Bowl for me to consider a success. But you know, go 11-5, go 12-4, do something like that. Don't struggle with bad teams and have to be winning in week 17 to win a wild card spot. Like that, to me, that's more important.
You feel like Ryan Tannehill gives you a better chance to do that than a recharge Tom Brady?
In 2020, yes.
I don't know what the answer is. I mean, I don't really feel strongly one way or another. I don't think it's crazy for people to want Tom Brady, though.
To me, it's absurd in the sense of, like, you're getting Tom Brady and you're expecting Tom Brady. In that regard, like you're expecting, hey, this is a guy who is the GOAT. This is a guy who's won 6 Super Bowls and all that. Like, to me, that guy's gone. Like,
well, maybe we expect a recharge, a resurgence from Tom Brady.
Does that not seem absurd?
Maybe that's
too?
What he needs.
But does that not seem absurd too to be expecting a 43-year-old quarterback to recharge? Like,
it would be
that's
unprecedented.
That's never happened before. Like,
it would be unprecedented that a guy that old would be able to do it.
So what would you rather gamble on? The idea that a 43-year-old quarterback could recharge in a new city in a new system, or that the guy who was the highest-rated passer that led the league in a lot of advanced metrics and threw the ball down the field deep and was very accurate can continue that type of success, at least close to that level of success? What would you rather bet on? Because
he's going
to
do that.
I mean, I don't think he's going to be number one in things, but I think he can be a top five AFC quarterback. I think he could do that. I think he could be the fifth or sixth best AFC quarterback. I'd rather bet on that than betting on the 43-year-old. That's just how I feel about it. And the guy went 9-3 as a starter? I feel like that's pretty tough if you're going to throw him to the side for an old Tom Brady.
Well, Brady was pretty good as a starter this year. They had a good record when Brady was a starter.
Yeah, but they did.
I mean, if we're going to make quarterback wins a stat, like – the Titans relied a lot on their defense and their run game, too.
They did not rely on their defense. During their win streak, they were giving up almost 28 points a game. The defense in the playoffs was great, but the defense of the regular season was not.
I mean,
I'm just saying, like, once Tannehill took over,
Tannehill threw for under 100 yards, and the defense played very
well. But he also made big passes to his third-string tight end, a practice squad player in Khalif Raymond.
I was just saying the same stuff about Brady. Like, he didn't have a lot of weapons either.
I know, but one guy made it work, and the other guy didn't. Like, again, this wasn't – A.J. Brown wasn't beating people in the playoffs. Would you agree with that? A.J. Brown had a pretty relatively quiet playoffs.
I mean, Tannehill didn't really make it work in the playoffs, though.
He threw 3 touchdowns and ran for another one.
Yeah, but Derrick Henry, I mean.
But against the Ravens, touchdown to Jonnu Smith, bomb to practice squad player Khalif Raymond.
What about this? What if Tom Brady has just been preserving his body and trying not to use too much because he wants to go somewhere else? He's tired of New England. He's tired of Belichick. He's done with Belichick.
So that's what we have to hope for, that Brady's been sandbagging the last 2 years?
Yeah.
So you would rather bet on that than the guy who was so good last year?
Yeah, he's just waiting on a new start.
Cam, how do you feel about this? Because I am vehemently on Team Tannehill here.
Yeah, I think Brady's only going to go down. I just don't see any way of it.
We've seen the slip right?
It's been going on, yeah. Like, it's progressed.
Do I think his skill players were good this year? No, not by any means. But, I mean, the people who are all of a sudden acting like the Titans have this plethora of skill players, explain to me 2-4 with Marcus Mariota. Like, everyone's like, oh, Tannehill got lucky. He had A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry and all these guys. Like, so did Marcus Mariota.
Well,
and
they also finally figured out how to run the ball. For some reason, it took them a long time to rely on Derrick Henry.
I don't think it's necessarily they just all of a sudden figured out how to run the ball as much as it was.
It seems that way. I mean, DeMarco Murray, Deion Lewis, like they just.
I mean, DeMarco Murray was pretty good in Tennessee.
But Derrick Henry's a monster.
I mean, I understand that, but Derrick Henry was there the first 6 weeks, and Derrick Henry was there last year. I would say Tannehill helping take the top off the defense helped a little bit too, like helping the offense actually complete passes. And
he was good coming in halfway through the year.
I think this is what's making me mad. I think it's finally clicked with you. This is no offense to you. No, don't take any offense to this at all. Seriously, don't take any offense to this, but this is what I've been having to deal with on the internet. Is a lot of people who, quite frankly, a handful of the people I've been arguing with aren't even Titans fans. With all due respect, you wouldn't consider yourself a Titans fan, right?
Yeah. I used to root for
them. But you haven't really watched closely to the Titans this year prior to the playoffs, correct?
I've watched a lot of their games because they're usually on my TV.
So you watch them closely. You're not a red zone guy. You don't just focus
on
the red zone.
Sometimes I'll watch red zone. Okay. But,
I feel like there's a lot of people who haven't watched the Titans that are trying to give takes on this that don't really know the team. And that's no disrespect to you. It's not your job to know about the Titans.
Do you have to be a Titans fan to have takes on the
Titans?
I
think some of the takes are bad, though. Like when you're talking about how Derrick Henry all of a sudden just figured out how to run. Like, no, the offense.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that. I mean, they didn't use him. Like, is that not right?
I mean, they were kind of trying to use him, but like when Mariota couldn't throw and you don't have a quarterback who can make the throws Tannehill was making, that is tougher. Like, to me, the difference in the season is whenever you had Tannehill and when you didn't have Tannehill.
Mm-hmm.
Like, to me, that's the difference of the year.
But he came in and he was successful halfway through the season.
Correct.
As the new thing, the new guy.
The guy who was actually being able to play quarterback and throw the ball accurately and like make really good throws.
But don't
lead
you
the
see
league
that?
In like adjusted completion percentage because he was completing passes that were statistically not supposed to be completed. Like he was fitting into tight windows. He was throwing good throws. To me, that opened up A.J. Brown.
Have you not seen that in other like situations though? And then like the next year they kind of get figured out? I mean, that's all I'm worried about with Tannehill. Once the film gets, you know, there's enough film on him, they have enough of a sample, the defensive coordinator starts studying it, and, you know, things change.
This wasn't a first-year quarterback coming in. This was Ryan Tannehill, who's been in the league for a while. Like, I mean, there's film out on Ryan Tannehill. He's not young.
Yeah, but
He's not some undrafted guy who got hot like Gardner Minshew for a couple weeks. Like,
they'll find tendencies, though.
Again, like, I mean, he's played in the league for a long time. It's not like they were slowing him down in weeks like 15, 16, and 17. I mean, he was still playing pretty well after having 2 months of film on.
Okay.
I mean, again, I don't think Tannehill's going to be as good as he was this year. I don't want to come across as sounding like I think that, but I think Brady was pretty bad this year. I would rather bet on the guy who's still younger, that's been in the system, that I've seen success with A.J. Brown and Derrick Henry and those tight ends. I'd rather bet on that to continue rather than the 43-year-old.
I guess a lot of people are betting on one of the great competitors of all time that he won't go out like that. And maybe it's nostalgia, but I think a lot of people are betting on Tom Brady to not finish his career like that.
Here's the problem with thinking like that, is that sometimes guys go out like that. Brett Favre went out like that.
Well,
Peyton Manning would have gone out like that had the defense just not been otherworldly. Or if Brock Osweiler was worth a damn, because they benched Peyton Manning for Brock Osweiler. But Brock couldn't do anything. He fumbled the ball.
Brady eats a lot of kale.
He does. He does eat a lot of kale.
It's a lot of kale. He eats, you know, he consumes a lot of different vegetables. So.
The problem with the fairy tale ending, the storybook fairy tale ending, is that it's really hard to do. That's why it's so special when it happens. Just because you're a legend doesn't mean that you get to go out on top. Like, Michael Jordan didn't get the Wizards to the playoffs, you know?
They made the mistake of hanging around too long, and maybe that's what'll happen with Brady.
That's what I would be worried about, is that once that decline starts happening, I'm not going to bet on a 43-year-old to flip the switch and fight back on that. It doesn't usually happen that way.
Yeah, I don't know. It just sounds very ageist.
I mean, it's just the harsh reality.
There's a lot of 70-year-old guys running marathons these days.
They can't run as fast as the 28-year-olds.
Things are changing. Technology's changing.
I'll take a young guy from Kenya over a 70-year-old guy from Kenya.
Why do they have to be from Kenya?
Isn't that the fastest country?
They're good at distance, though.
Well, we're talking about marathons, right? Yeah, we're talking about marathons. So not fastest, but the fastest marathon runners. I was just paying respect. I didn't want to whitewash marathon running.
Do you think that there are any 80-year-olds who can run faster than any 20-year-old?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like an 80-year-old guy that runs marathons.
There'd
versus
There'd be an 80-year-old
like
guy that could beat me and you in a race.
You think?
Probably.
Not a sprint.
Probably not a sprint, but in a mile.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
There's but some guys with endurance.
But against a 20-year-old runner? No.
No.
No. It's not being ageist. It's just being realistic.
Realistic is not as fun. You know?
You ever hear the joke about realistically versus hypothetically? And Brad Pitt?
No.
And the sisters and mothers and sons?
No. Never heard it.
All right. Hour two is in the book. Hour three is on deck.